Of him a little bit.
And we're going to shove him back. Another two parshiyos to go. And so it's Tara Levina part 7. And the topic is a continuation of what we were talking together last night, which is the way that a person views himself, the self-definition that a person gives himself, is essential towards the continuation of a person's ability to serve up for the Baruch Hu faithfully. Start off with a story, a mashal, and then I'll go into the sections that we're going to learn together. There was once a child who went to play in the park outside, and he wanted to play, but it was already Erev Shabbos, and his mother had already showered him, and he was already dressed in his Shabbos clothes, and he said, "Can I go play?" So his mother says, "You can go play, but I don't want you to get dirty. So you can play in the park, just make sure you don't like play with anything that's going to make you dirty. You're ready." Anyways, the child goes to the park and he sees that his friends have brought a couple of buckets of water and they're pouring them on the earth and they're making boats, they're making like this mud and they're building little men because, you know, so they don't have snow, right? So how do you, you know, play? You have to make mud and then you build the snow. And he's like really upset because he really wants to join in and he really wants to play as well, but he promises his mother he's not going to get dirty. So he's not getting dirty. And he's just sitting on the side watching. And they say, like, "I'm strong. I know I'm not going to make get dirty here. I'm going to stay on my side. I'm going to stay here on the bench. I'm not going to go and play with them where they're dirty." So he's watching. And then at some point, he doesn't know exactly how it happened, but a little bit of the dirt that the one child was throwing on the other child somehow landed on his shirt. It was a tiny, very small amount. It was hardly significant. But there was a little bit of dirt that ended up on his shirt. So he's sitting there and he says, like, "Oh, what do I do now? This is terrible. I can't believe I did this. I guess 30. Now, the good thing at that point would have been for the child to say, "I better quickly go home and wash it off. And I can wash it off, it's fine." That would have been good. But the child didn't say that. And he said something which to us doesn't seem so logical, but to a child it does somehow seem logical. "Well, if I'm anyway dirty, then I'm anyway dirty, right? So what my mother said about not getting dirty doesn't apply anymore now. Because, right, the svara was, I shouldn't get dirty. But now I'm anyway dirty. So, I can play." And then the child went and played. Anyway, once the child joined in, you know what it's like when someone like holds strong and holds strong for a while and all the friends, so they pounded him and pounded him with all the dirt. "Ah, you were clean until now. Boom, 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 boom." And he's filthy. A fallen angel. A pure soul that fell. Filthy, filthy. Anyway, his friends all leave and they go home. And he suddenly looks at himself. And he, from head to toe, he's not a walking stone man, he's a walking mud man. He's walking from head to toe, trying to walk home. And he gets the door and he doesn't have the guts to knock on the door. He just can't face his mother. He can't face her. So he just stands there crying. He's crying. And his mother's getting worried. "Where is he? Where's my boy?" And eventually she opens the door. She sees him there sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. She wasn't sure it was him for a minute under all that mud. But eventually she's like, "That's him." And she's about to shout at him, but then she sees his crying, which, by the way, is a good trick. If you ever don't want to get in trouble with your parents, yeah, if you cry and feel really sorry, then they don't shout at you. So he was crying and crying. And then his mother said, "Well, what's going on? Why did you get dirty? Well, what's wrong? What? You're filthy. What happened? You're anxious. Well, why are you so upset?" She was like confused exactly how to relate to him. And eventually she brought him in and was shouting him a little bit. But she saw that he was crying uncontrollably and it didn't make any sense. So she said to him, "Yisrael," let's say his name is Yisrael. "So Yisrael, like, what's going on? What's going on?" So he said, "I'm dirty and I'm filthy." She said, "Yes, you are. I told you not to get dirty." "I know. And I'm going to be like this in..." And then he starts listing like a whole lot of things which don't make sense. "On Shabbos, I'm going to be like this at my birthday. And I'm going to be like this at my bar mitzvah. I'm going to be like this at my wedding." And he's like going through all these life events where, "What are you talking about? You're 6 years old, 7 years old. Right? Go watch." So she says to him, "No, calm down." And then she realized why he was crying so uncontrollably. Because he totally lost proportion of what being dirty means. He thought that being dirty means, "I'm dirty now for the rest of my life forever. That's it, I'm gone. The rest of my life I'm going to walk around with it." But she says, no, it's okay, you know. Come in the house. You can have a shower. You can put the clothes in the washing machine. And it will take 30 minutes. You'll be clean, wearing fresh clothing. And suddenly he rubs his eyes, which doesn't help so much, but he tries the best he can. And he rubs his eyes and he says, you mean I can be clean again? And she says, yes. You mean this isn't forever? She says, no, it's temporary. You can wash it off. I can wash it off? Yes, you can wash it off. Don't never do it again, but you can wash it off. And suddenly this wave of relief washes over. Didn't clean him so much. He started to have a shower, but it washed over Yisra. And he's like, wow. And just in brackets and parentheses, the reason I thought of this mashal is because this actually happened to me as a child. It actually happened to me. I was in school doing a project. I was in grade one. And there was Tippex, my whiteout, and some of it got on my nail. And they said to me, careful it doesn't get on your fingers, because it doesn't come off. It doesn't come off. And I remember crying, oh no, it's on my nail, it's going to be there forever. And they go, no, it doesn't come off, but it's fine, like you can scrub, or your nail will grow eventually, it'll come off, it's okay. So that's where that mashal actually came from. So this concept is a concept which really is very damaging. Because let's say a boy does an aveirim in an area which is really severe. Now, how does he view himself? Is he now dirty for life? Is he now gone? Is he, well, I've sinned once, so okay, that's it, forget it. Let all the barriers go. Like, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, it does make a difference, but I'm anyway tainted. I'm anyway impure. And therefore, what's the point of like trying to keep my clean slate going? I'm anyway not worthy. And therefore, any holding that he had on himself is now cancelled, and the whole thing is cancelled. So here I want to be clear, and in this shiur that we're on today, I don't want to say anything fluffy. Although I have quoted Chassidus in the past, I will not quote Chassidus today. Because this topic is one which you can't, it's important not to quote Chassidus on. Because when you quote something which is like fluffy and amazing and beautiful and inspiring, but then people say, okay, really, but there's probably other opinions. Like, you need to hear this point that we're learning today, and this is God's word. This is not like, okay, some people say this, and this has to be, if you're asking, am I gone, or am I still? Is there still hope for me? You have to hear God saying to you, that I believe that there's still hope for you. And that way, if you ever come up with a doubt of, oh yeah, I'm a lost case, I'm way too far, I'm gone, then you'll say, well, that's not what God says about you. Maybe you're thinking that, but that's not coming from a Torah perspective. That's coming from a non-Torah perspective. And when you hear the sources, and you see this is like Kodesh Baruch Hu's word saying to you, that I don't believe you're ever dirty long term. And I believe that you can go and wash and you can put things in the washing machine and you can be cleansed. That's what I believe, says God. Then you realize that from Hashem's perspective, He's constantly giving love and constantly giving opportunities. And if there's anything holding us back, it's only our misconception, our false perspective. But from Hashem's perspective, He's constantly welcoming us back. And therefore, no one can ever make the claim, well, I'm God anyway. Well, I've done this small over here, I've got a bit dirty over here on my shirt. So anyway, now all boundaries have fallen apart. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, I'll get to Yirmiyah in a second. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Bonim atem la'ashem elokechem. And there's a machloket in the Gemara between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, only if you act appropriately are you called Banim. But Rabbi Meir says, Beikach or Beikach Hatem Kurim Banim, and brings four psukim. Pasuk number one, Banim Schalimim. Pasuk number two, Banim Loim Munbeim. From Yirmiyah, from Devarim. Pasuk number three, from Yeshayahu, Zera Mireim Banim Ashchitim. Pasuk number four, from Hoshaya, Vahayaba Makoma Shayomar Lehem Loamiatem, Yomar Lehem Beni Kelchai. The Gemara asks, why does it bring four psukim to teach the same principle? Your Hashem is children, your Hashem is children, finished. So the Gemara goes to each one and listen carefully, because people fall along the way in their belief of themselves and their relationship with Hashem at one of these four stages. But if you ask Chazal how Hashem views us, you'll get a clearer, truer perspective. No vortalach, no gematrias, the word of Hashem, that Hashem loves us and is willing to return us back, bring us back, no matter how far we've gone. So number one, why do you need all four? The chitay masich lihu de mikrei boni, maybe only someone who's foolish, he's called a child because he didn't know what he was doing. Ki leis behu ahem nute. But if someone's not faithful, if someone sins and he's not faithful, he won't be called a child. That's why they bring a second pasuk in Devarim, banim lo imunbam. They're still called my sons, even if they're not faithful. The chitay ma leis behu ahem nute hu de mikrei boni. And if you'll say, okay, they're not faithful, they're still called sons. ki palcho avodas kochavim. But if they do avodas zara, that's like denying Hakadosh Baruch Hu, saying Hakadosh Baruch Hu, not you, other. Lo mikre baron, they wouldn't be called children. Not even there. The pasuk in Yeshayahu, va'omer zera mereim banim mashchitim. They're mashchitim. They're destroyed, but they're still my banim. They're still my children. V'chitim banim mashchitim with the mikro. Okay, so they're called banim mashchitim. That's why they call mashchim. Banim malia lo mikro, meaning that for the rest of their lives they're going to be mashchitim. They're going to be ruined. They're banim, said they, but they're rejected sons, like David HaMelech was when he was before he was the Melech. He's a son, but he's a rejected son. He's not really a son. He's kind of the son who's out with the sheep, but not in the family. Hashma v'haya b'makom asher yomar lehem lo ami atem yomar lehem b'nikelcha. Meaning, according to this Gemara, and there's a Rav Nachman quoted at Melava Malka recently, that there's a Shuta Rashba, Chelik Aleph Simen Tshuva Kuf Sadi Beis, where he says that we have a Masorah that we paskin in this halacha like Rav Meir, that we're banim even if we misbehave. What you see from this Gemara is, if you ever feel that you're ruined, that's not God's way of viewing it. That's your way of viewing yourself, and it's inappropriate. And that inappropriate way of viewing yourself is what gives entry to the Eitz Hara to come and do more damage. That's not what God thinks. Don't put it in God's name, like Rabbi Sachs's book. Not in God's name. Not in God's name either that I'm ruined. That's not God's word for you. God's word for you is, I believe in you and there's still hope for you and I'm waiting for you to come back. You can be cleansed and I will love you just as much. Hashem's name. Before you sin, Hashem, Hashem, Karachom, Machanan. The Gemara says, Hashem is the same name the way he relates to you with Rachamim before you sin, and it's the same shame Hashem the way he relates to you after you've sinned, if you've done tshuva. From Hashem's perspective, there's no such thing as a lost child. There's no such thing as someone who's gone off the derech so far that there's no return. And if we see it in that way, it's a false perception. I want to quote you now to the, I'll say one more thing also, because this is very personal. My father-in-law, it's a Shoshim this Thursday. When my son was bar mitzvah, Hananya, when he was bar mitzvah, so we asked all the different family members to write the Devar Torah and send it to him. Because we weren't going to have an opportunity here for everyone to speak, and also even if they do, it's on Shabbos. So we asked people just to send in the Devar Torah, or Devar Brocha, or something. So my father-in-law, Alav Shalom, he sent a Devar Torah with this message. He said, why do we call it a Bar Mitzvah, but in the Gemara, when they refer to someone who does an Avera, they don't call him a Bar Avera, they call him a Baal Avera. Why is it Bar Mitzvah and Baal Avera? That's the question my father-in-law asked in his drosha for Chanayah's Bar Mitzvah. And he said, because a Baal relationship is one that you can get divorced from. And a Ben relationship is one you can never divorce from. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to come and tell us that we're his children, and that we have hope and potential, and that we can do mitzvahs, Bar Mitzvah, a child to me, Banim Atem, LaHashem Elokechem, you're my child. No matter how far you go from Hashem's perspective, you haven't gone anywhere. You still have close, an opportunity to return still exists. However, regarding Avera, Baal Avera. You took possession of it, but you can also sell it. You can also divorce yourself from it. So it's a Bar Mitzvah, but a Baal Avera. That was the Devar Torah that he said. It's very relevant here. Because there's a Maharal, which I want to quote lots of, but I'm going to just quote one or two little pieces of. This is the Maharal in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Yud Aleph. Selected parts. In Yisrael Saru, Uparshu Min Avihem, Zeu mitzad ha'alul atzmo. Aval ma shehu yitbarach ala alahem, ledavar ze ein hasara klal. Ki ein hasara shalem rak mitzad ha'alul atzmo, velo mitzad ha'ila. Lekach b'chol inyan nikru banim. If there's ever a separation between us and Hashem, it's only from us moving ourselves away from Hashem. But it's never from Hashem moving himself away from us. I heard a very nice mashal for this, from Rabbi Einhorn from LA, Rabbi Shlomo Einhorn. He said that, you know the Shabbos lamp, where you know it has a light inside and you can twist it around and you can get the light out? He said beautifully, he said, the light's always shining. The light is always shining. Sometimes you swivel it in such a way where the light can be perceived, and sometimes you swivel it in such a way that the light is concealed. But the light is always shining. So Hashem, from his perspective, is always shining light upon us. He's always giving us blessings. Hashem, from his perspective, is always giving us light. We sometimes block out that light when we do our veras, and sometimes we do tshuva and we reveal it again. But from Hashem's perspective, we were children the whole time. And that's what the Maharal says, why we're called banim, to show that it's never from his perspective. Hashem always loves us. You know, when you greet someone, and you're not sure how they responded to you, was that a smile or was that a frown? You're not sure. And then the next time you meet them, you think they didn't really smile at you. It causes you to bring out the feeling of not liking them as well. Because why weren't they friendly towards me? Why don't they like me? I don't know why. But kamayim panim al panim, the way that you feel someone else thinks about you, that's how you start to generate feelings towards them. If we think that Hashem's upset with us for doing averus, then chas v'shalom could cause us to be upset with Hashem. Oh, this God, yeah, he doesn't like me. Yeah, all the things I've done wrong, I must have angered him. And if I've angered him, he doesn't like me. What? Who needs him anyway? I don't like him either. Kamay panim al panim. If I think someone's upset with me, and that's the feeling I'm likely to generate towards them, comes the Torah and says, no matter how far you go, Hashem will only ever put on an external face of being angry in order to educate you. Just like we're supposed to as parents or as Rebbeim. You're supposed to, from time to time, put on a stern face and say, this is absolutely forbidden, and show if you do this, you're going to have to take away, there are going to be consequences. You have to do that for educational purposes. But in the heart, there's always a love. It's always coming from a place of love. So, if you think that a Kodesh Baruch is upset with you, to the point where you start to generate things upset towards him, you totally misread Hashem. Hashem is explaining to you here explicitly, Banim Hashem, Banim Atem, you are my children, and I love you. The light is always shining from the inside. And the Maharal is saying, if there's ever an issue, it's from us. So that we can change. You know, if we were trying to change Hashem, we would be in trouble. Because how can you change HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But once it's only, all you have to change is your perception. I can do tshuva and everything's going to be okay. The Maharal continues. Kishem banim mitzad Hashem itvarach, hu ilah lahem. Kmo ha'ab, shu ilah el ha'ben. He's the cause. He's the one who creates us. And he loves us. Hu mitzad atzmo shel ha'ab. The father-son relationship never changes, no matter how much the child sins. Whatever the sin is, anything that we're putting up a smoke screen in front of ourselves, but from Hashem you can see right through it, and his love for us continues and remains. Two more short lines from the Maharal. Ki mitzad shenivru'u min ha'ala hu b'tachlit ha'tov. Since Hashem created us, so from His perspective, the relationship towards us coming from Him is always good. He loves us, and He always shines His goodness upon us. From His perspective. Since Hashem created us, we're essentially part of Hashem, we're essentially good. If we ever do anything wrong, that's not our essence. That's not us. We got confused for a minute, like the Gemara says. Ruach shtus overcame us. I don't know what just happened there, I don't know what that was. Something external to me. But just like that story of the boy Yisrael in the beginning of the story of the Shir, where he got dirty, he didn't realize this at first. At first he thought that if he got dirty, that's his essence. I'm tainted. But then his mother said to him, no, if you got dirty and dirt, you can wash it off. It's external to you. And then he realized, Baruch Hashem, my essence is pure. Any dirt that's on the outside of me, I can wash off. So too with us and Averis, says the Maharam. Our essence is created by Hashem. Our essence is pure. If we ever do sins, it's not us. It's external to us. We have to do tshuva for it. We have to do tshuva. Because just like the boy has to go wash it off. If external things stick to you, you have to remove them. It's not that you're like, go free, happy, okay, you don't have to do anything. You have to do tshuva. But you can do tshuva. You're expected to do tshuva. It's an inherent belief that we can because our pure essence never changed. We remain pure. Hashem believes in us and that's our essence of what we are. We got dirty playing in the mud, wash it off. You can wash it off. And the last phrase, Vel devar zeh yesh siluk v'asara min achet. It's possible for us to always remove the sin. Ki yashuvu midarkam. Vel devar shuhu el inyan tzachilato tov v'sofo tov. Since our beginning is pure, and our end is pure, we can do tshuva. Afal gav shal ve'em tzayin otov. Even if there's a little period in the middle where someone goes off the derech for a period, nechshav ki'ilu haya tov mirishto ad sofo. The way that Kodesh Baruch Hu relates to us, is that we're good from the beginning to the end. Like the Gemara Bava Basra says, Pikeach venit charesh, v'chazav venit pakeach. Right? If someone was intelligent and they become deaf and they were able to relate, then they become intelligent again, how do we relate to them? Havekeilu pakach mirosh ad sof. That's the halacha in Bava Basra. So that's where Kodesh Baruch Hu relates to us also. If a person has a good source from Hashem, and he has a good ending, he can do tshuva. Even if he has years where he does averus. Now let this never be an excuse. No one can ever rely on this. You always have to be doing tshuva the whole time. But you can always do tshuva. I want to read to you. Those who make it on time for Rosh Hashanah davening, there's a added on piece that some siddurim have, which is the Yesod HaTshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. It's printed at the beginning of the Machzor on Rosh Hashanah davening. And he has a piece there about how to do tshuva. This is the Rabbeinu Yonah on how to do tshuva. And he writes something which is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, a key to doing tshuva and a key to this point. What's this key going to help us with? When a person's feeling low, when a person suddenly realizes something wrong and then he kind of bends down like this, the Yetzer Hara is ready there to slap it. You bend down, boom! And then the Yetzer Hara, after slapping him, will, like we said last week, will be your best friend and offer you all sorts of tithers that you can now do to make yourself feel worthy again. What is the Torah's approach on how to relate to oneself after doing an Avera? Because we've got a bit of a conundrum here. On the one hand, you're supposed to feel guilty and do tshuva. On the other hand, if you feel guilty, you're giving entry for the Yetzer Hara to come in and bash you. Ah, you're worthless, you're worthless. So what, you're supposed to not feel guilty and feel like, I'm fine, it doesn't make a difference, everything's okay, I'm good, I'm pure. Then we learn in the Maharal that all sins are external, so I'm okay, and just like move on and forget about it. How are you supposed to relate to this exactly? So the Rabbeinu Yonah gives the perfect formula. Shalach lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yad ha-Navi Yischezkel ha-Navi. Nu'um Hashem, shuvu ve'yishivu mikol pishechem ve'lo yiyu lachem lenichshol. Hashlichu ma'alechem et kol pishechem asher pashatem bam. So he starts off by quoting Yechezkel HaNavi, Hashem believes in us, we can do tshuva, we can remove the sins from ourselves, we can create a new heart, why should we have to die? We don't have to die, we can renew ourselves. Then he continues. Someone who sinned, and he comes to reconnect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says a beautiful Hebrew, I'll read it. Ba'al lachasot tachat kanfei ha-shechina, you come to wrap again, to be taken in the under the wings of Hashem's Shekhinah, Hashem's presence in this world, and he wants to remove himself. Let me give you a guideline. On how you should do this. On that day, you determine that you wish to throw away all of your sins and pretend that you were born on that day. Does everybody know? Press the restart button. Restart. I never did anything wrong in my life. He has no merits. He has no averas. Today is where you start the calculation. This is how you do tshuva. You say, reset, I'm starting again. Hayom yifeles al chotav. Okay, you've got no history. You've got no chazakos of doing bad things. You've got no temptations from the past because you've reset the button, and just because you were something once doesn't mean you have to continue. Just in brackets, I'll just add, this is very good advice for when you enter a new stage in life. Let's say you were in high school. And in high school you had all sorts of things that you did that weren't so appropriate. But then you come to yeshiva. Now it's very easy to renew yourself when you come to yeshiva because, okay, I did things there because I was in high school and I had certain friends and there's certain influences and I got stuck in bad things. But now I'm starting a new life. I've come to yeshiva and it's a new friends, new environment, new schedule. I can just restart. I can restart everything. I can just begin anew. You can do that even without moving country. You can do that with a firm decision that I'm starting anew. This will enable you to do a full tshuva. Because what's hard about doing tshuva is a person feels it's overwhelming. I've done so many bad things. But Rabbeinu Yonah's advice is, forget it. Just forget it. Start anew. Get into the good. And pretend you never did anything wrong in the past. Now, you shouldn't be overwhelmed by all the bad you did in the past and say, it's too much for me. Because you'll think to yourself, I did so many averas, I'm such a bad person, I've done them time and time and time again. How could I ever come before Hashem? It's so embarrassing for me. Why would He want me? All those things put aside. He says, that's the Yetzer Hara speaking. That's the Yetzer Hara. The way he calls it is, it's a fly entering the inner keys of your heart. Rather, you should think to yourself, Hashem loves me. And He wants me to come back. And therefore it's better that I'll pretend I never did anything wrong in the past. I'll start anew. Yaser olev chadash. V'chein yaser v'yom tzaharoto v'itnadvo rucho. He doesn't say the continuation, but I'll tell you what it says in the continuation. He says, only after when you've got into a good flow, and you're davening well, and you're learning well, and you have good chavrusas, and you're feeling confident about yourself, you're relating well to people, then, you're stable, your ego is intact, you're in a healthy place, then you can look back and you can say, from this strong standpoint, what did I do over there? What was I thinking? Well, that was a terrible thing to do. And you can apologize to people. And you can apologize to Hashem. Because now it's not going to break you. You're already in a good place. If you're still close to Mitzrayim, then when you see the Plishtim, you may run back to Mitzrayim. Then it's dangerous to go to the Plishtim. If you're still so weak and you're still full of all the thoughts of the averis you've done, then if you think about doing tshuva, it's going to make you run back to the bad place, then it's not healthy to go there. So you just take a other route into a pure Eretz Yisrael without having to meet negative forces along the way. Pretend you never did anything wrong and you start again. If you're deeply aware that Hashem loves you, if you're deeply aware that Hashem is waiting for you to accept your tshuva, you're able to say, I'm restarting the button. I'm ready to move on. I can pretend all those things never happened. And only once you're on firm, solid, stable ground, then you're able to return. Because deeply we all recognize that the same Hashem who said that this is an Avera, that all of Shogavim is an Avera, that same Hashem also said you can do tshuva. So the same God who commanded you, this is not allowed, that same God said, I love you, and you're my children, and I'm accepting you back. If you believe Hashem that it's very severe, then you can also believe Hashem that He wants you and He loves you and He's accepting you home. Why are you picking the negative one and not the positive one? The same God is welcoming you and accepting you with open arms. One last phrase I want to say. When it comes to mitzvahs, and it comes to averas, some people falsely equate them. I do some averas, I do some mitzvahs. This is roughly where I'm holding. But it's very inappropriate to do that. Because averas are temporary. A person will be in the next world, if Hashem has done many averas, 11 months, 12 months, it's finished. All the negative effect of the averas is something which there is a kapara for. It's not pleasant, but it's temporary, it passes and you're finished with it. All the mitzvahs that you do are eternal. Every time you hold back from doing an avera, that stands for you as an angel to last you in the next world forever. So it's not a fair equation of saying, I've done some mitzvahs and some averas. All those averas have an expiry date. They're all going to end at some point. And they will vaporize and vanish and they don't exist. All the mitzvahs you've done hold, as long as you don't regret them, they hold strong and they will remain for you throughout the next world. So if you're trying to equate, where am I holding? Am I good? Am I not good? All the averas are temporary. They're going to vanish. They don't exist. I mean, not only is it your imagination you're pretending you didn't do them, you actually, they're cancelled at some point. You do tshuva in this world, or chasron kapara in the next world. I mean, yes, kapara, chasron, you should wait till then. And then it's done. So, if you're trying to weigh up where you're holding, banim Hashem, Hashem loves you. And even if you've got full of averas, Hashem loves you. And he calls you his son. And it's only, even if you've done lots of bad things, it's only temporary. And if you've done lots of bad things, it's all external to you. And with this deep belief that Hashem loves you and accepts you, then the hard force of averas weighing one down can be released. And you can feel fresh, have a spring to your step. You can do tshuva and say, I regret what I did and I'm moving forward. You can learn Torah without a feeling of, am I worthy? You can daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a free, open channel. And Hashem is not saying, oh, who are you to talk to me? He is waiting for you, He's accepting you. You can relate to other people with a lightness and a joy, and then the tshuva process can be healthy, fresh. I know I love my son. I hope my son loves me just as much. But we know that usually a parent loves a child more than the child loves the parent. That's the nature of it. So if I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever degree I'm able to, He loves me thousands, thousands, ninefold. And the more I believe that, the more I'll be able to open my heart to love Him.